Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Well, weddings, well, they're always fun. Well, we're almost always fun. Now, it all depends on whether or not what side of the wedding you're on. Now, if you were a friend and received an invitation, well, they're a lot of fun because somebody, a friend of yours, has invited you to see their wedding there. A special time in their life, special time in which they're getting married. And then when you go to the reception, have an opportunity to have some fun too. Now, on the other side, though, what about at a wedding? You got the bride, you got the mother of the bride, the mother of the groom, and the groom. Well, for them, it's not always as much fun. Right? Think about it. What does the bride have to do? Bride's got to find a dress. Got to find a dress that's got to look good. Got to find a dress that's, well, do you have a train or not, you know? It's like, how much is this dress going to cost? How much are my folks willing to spend to get that dress, you know? Important things like that. And then, it's not only that, you've got to pick out a dress for the bridesmaids, right? You've got to figure out what they're going to wear. And then you got to figure out what color it's going to be. You know, all these important decisions, all these decisions that, well, create a little bit more strife in your life. So you've got the mother of the bride, the mother of the groom, and to some extent, the groom himself planning out all these things. Now, the wise groom, well, he's going to be the one who goes along with whatever the bride wants, right? Okay, it's always a good plan. So he'll look like he's following along there and thinking that, oh, this is good, and I'm participating, when in reality he's not. She sees through that, by the way, guys, so just think that. Keep that in mind. And so all these things are going on, and so here they are trying to figure out what's going to happen there for the wedding. And then it's just not only the wedding. You've got the reception too, right? So, what do you want at your reception? Got to find out where you're going to have a place first. Got to rent a hall. Got to put down a deposit for that. Got to make sure you got planned enough time in advance so that you have a place to have. And then you got to think about, all right, what kind of food? How extravagant do you want it to be? Then, depending on how much you want to spend on the reception, it's going to depend on how many people you're going to invite to your wedding, right? Because if you have some folks who have parents who want to invite lots of people, like my mother did at my wedding. She had a list of 400 herself. Yeah, and we were only having 350 people come. So, you know, you can do the math there. And so somewhere along the line there, balance has to be struck there about who's going to be invited to the wedding, who's not, what you're going to wear, all those details. And so what should be the fun event of your life? Yeah, it can be a little stressful. Now, Jesus here, in our gospel lesson, he gives a parable here about a wedding feast. Now, one thing I've noticed in Scripture is that the Lord God, well, he likes weddings. All right? He enjoys weddings. He talks about the relationship there in Scripture, about how the relationship between God and his people are like a bride and a groom. Groom being Jesus, and the bride being the church. Now, that suggests that we have a close relationship with God. And indeed, we do, and that's what he wants. But also, too, think about what was Jesus' first miracle. Well, it was at a wedding, turning the water into wine. And so here we have Jesus this morning describing what the kingdom of God is like. Now, remember, parables here are always ways in which Jesus is trying to describe how God acts and what his kingdom is like in ways in which we can understand. And so now in this parable here, we talk about how the kingdom of God is like a wedding banquet. Now, the kingdom of God is not of this earth, but rather it is in heaven. And so we recall, think about this here too. Jesus, what did he say when he was in a conversation with Pilate? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world," right? It's because it's in heaven. Now we have a king here. This parable puts on a wedding banquet for his son. And he sends his servants out there to go invite all the people to come. But something unusual happens. The people refuse to come. And so he sends more servants out there and tells them that he spared no expense. Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calves have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Now, I'd say at this point, that would certainly be a little bit of a stress at a wedding, right? You've put down the deposit for the hall. You pay the caterer. They've got the food all prepared. And what? Nobody's going to come to the wedding? You've got all of this. You've got the church. You've got the dresses. You've got the bridesmaids all decked out. The groom's got his tuxes, and they all match all the colors and everything, right? And nobody's going to show? To say that it would be a disappointment is probably not the operative word here. How horrifying that would be that you go through all that trouble and nobody comes. Now the king, in response to what the people actually did to his servants, is rather enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. You see, judgment had come upon those people who refused to come. Jesus is talking about how the children of Israel had been acting. For years, the Heavenly Father sent his servants out, the prophets, to go there and invite the people to the wedding banquet. And they are to be a part of the kingdom of God. But they refused to listen to the prophets. In fact, they killed a number of the prophets. So God, in his judgment, sent his armies and killed the people off. Some of them he hauled off into captivity. And so it came about that God wanted his banquet hall filled. And so now, what was he going to do? Well, he sent his servants out there, not only to the Jews, but now to all people, anyone. Good and bad, they were invited to come, for the feast was ready. Now, when you truly look at the expense here, and we talk about no expense spared here, the Lord God wanted everybody there, wanted the feast to be ready. But what was the cost? When you think about what the cost was, it was Jesus. It was his death on the cross. You see, his death on the cross earned forgiveness of sins for you. He rose from the grave to give you hope, hope of everlasting life. That was the cost that opened the gates to heaven so that we might be able to go and be a part of this banquet feast. Well, now comes the part after the wedding there. Parables past this, we're at the wedding banquet, and now the king is going around and greeting his guests, and then something happened. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness. Well, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen." Kind of a strange ending, don't you think? But the reality is it's not. Now, the wedding clothes, that may have been a custom there for the people back then, about having special garments there that you'd come in and enjoy the wedding feast there. So that way everybody knew, if you had these special clothes on, that you were supposed to be there, that you were invited. But yet, the reality is, well, that also implies, it applies to us. You see, it gets right back to Jesus. You see, there was a great exchange that happened when Jesus went to the cross. And there he died, earning forgiveness of our sins. You see, the clothes that we have are sinful rags that we're wearing. But in that exchange there, Jesus takes our filthy clothes, our sins, and he gives us his robe of righteousness. That's why pastors wear white robes. It's a reminder for what Jesus has done for us, how he's taken and covered up our sinfulness, and now God only sees holiness. You see, what's happening here is that this word here and those who are invited to the banquet are believers. Because that holiness that Jesus gives to us is only given to believers. See, this message is preached out to all the world. The good and the bad are invited to the heavenly banquet. But only those who believe that Jesus died and rose again get into the banquet. For many are called, and few are chosen. See, the one who did not have wedding clothes on was the unbeliever. He did not have Christ's robe of righteousness around him. And see, as an unbeliever there, he has refused to believe in Jesus. So in turn, he's refused the invitation. He shouldn't be there. And so what happens to those who don't believe in Jesus? They are thrown out of heaven. And they will be outside, weeping and gnashing their teeth. Gnashing their teeth means that they're gritting them. They're angry, okay? They're angry that they're not in there. But that, quite frankly, is the consequence for not believing in Jesus. You see, this whole parable here, really, quite frankly, is a good example of a motivator for me as a pastor. I want the wedding banquet to be filled. I, too, like the Lord, want to have all people be saved. I want the word to get out there and the invitation out there to as many people as possible so that some might be saved. You see, there are many who hear the word, but they, too, refuse it. But this task, it's not only my mission to get out there and do that. This task is also given to you. You, too, are included as servants in God's kingdom. You, too, are to share and invite others to be a part of the wedding banquet. You can do that at work. You can do that at your home, with your family, friends, neighbors. And what is that invitation that you share? You tell others what you know about Jesus. And as always, always remember, you don't convert anybody. That's God's job. All you do is tell what you know about Jesus and let the Lord do the rest. You see, that's the invitation. That's what we share. So pray for opportunities. Think about all the different kinds of things that are coming up here in this congregation, about ways in which we're reaching out to the community around us so they might know who we are, so they might know whose we are as well. So pray for those opportunities and invite others to the banquet through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.